Our scripture reading for today is recorded in St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When the infamous criminal, thief, and robber, John Dillinger, was caught in Chicago outside of a theater and gunned down right there on the curb on the street, the federal agents who did that permitted vendors to sell copies of Dillinger's toe tag that was on his corpse. Thousands of them went out into the city. And people were then allowed to come, at least 10,000 or more, and walk through the morgue and see the body of this criminal. It was such an event that they claim that at the scene where he was killed, some of the women that came out of the theater, finding out who this was, went and took their skirts and dipped them in his blood to have a souvenir. We have kind of a sick fascination with death, and Hollywood likes to tap into that. The Halloween series, I believe, has about 10 movies to it, and they claim that with each one, they've had to try to add a little more gore, maybe a few more deaths. A lot of the new video games that are popular today have to increasingly add more and more violence to them and more gore and death. One of the dangers that a lot of people fear about that, of course, is that it tends to desensitize us to the reality of death and to the actual consequences of death as well. As a little child, you probably remember the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin, who was asked to get all the rats out of a city. And in order to do so, he dressed up in a colorful outfit and played the flute and marched all of the rats out of the city. And when the people didn't pay him what he was supposed to be paid, he came in while they were in church one day and started to play his flute and got all of the children together and danced and played the flute in front of them and took them off into the hills and ultimately into a cave for their demise. Some have used that as a picture of how the devil is with us. In this world, he likes to prance and dance before us with all of his color and glamour and make us follow him with all the different things that seem so interesting, but ultimately, anywhere that he leads us has nothing but the cave of death ahead of us. Death is the ultimate dissolver. It is the ultimate dissolution to everything that we have in this life and in this world. St. Paul refers to those who have no hope because of death. It dissolves a man's strength. We think of the towering champion Goliath of the Philistines, who was probably over 8 feet tall, and what strength he represented. And yet, here is the little teenager David walking into Jerusalem carrying his head. We think about how death dissolves beauty. Think of how many Hollywood movie stars that were so glamorous on the scenes. Now, their bodies in decay in the grave. If you could dig up their graves, how different those faces would look. Death dissolves financial success. If you go into some of the cemeteries in Eastern Europe, you'll see two sides to the cemetery. One is for all the poor people, where everybody comes with their own shovels and digs their family member's grave. The other side, they have big, large backhoes that will do it for you, but it's the same earth, and it's the same death. And death dissolves all honor. The famous composer Amadeus Mozart, they claim, was thrown into a pauper's grave with mass criminals. Ultimately, there are really only three windows through which you can look at your own death. The first is through a clear glass window that doesn't do anything to change it. And you just see it in its raw reality. And that is terrifying to look at it that way. Unfiltered. The second is through a painted glass window that tries to dress it up and disguise it and everything about it so that you're distracted and you think that the window itself is so nice. And that's how the world would have us view death. But the third window is the one that St. Paul is inviting us to come to today. And that is the window of our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is the only one who has gone into death and come out the other side alive and defeated it. And he is the one who in the scriptures says to death, "Death, I will be your death." The words of our text are often read by pastors to family members as they are just about to head into the funeral service, often in a back room. They're very comforting words. Just listen to them again. Talking to Christians, he says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." It's as if in our text today, St. Paul is saying to all of us, come with me. Come over here to this Christ window to look at your death and to look at death in general, and let this be your vantage point in your whole life. Think about Abraham in the Old Testament, marching his son Isaac up the hill, ultimately to sacrifice him top of a mountain, and to actually strap his own son's teenage body down on top of that altar, and to take the blade of that knife and the tip of it and just be ready to drive it through his son's chest. And we often think, man, how could he do that? God had given him the command to do it, certainly. But we think, how in the world could he stand there with that knife and be ready to drive it into his own child? It just seems unimaginable to us. But the reason he could, we're told in the book of Hebrews, is because he had been brought to the Christ window to look at death. This is what Hebrews tells us. Abraham reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Note what a wonderful and powerful thing faith is that holds on to Christ. Paul says, God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Jesus is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Faith, trusting in him as our Savior, putting our full confidence in him to get to heaven, not in ourselves. Faith that a little tiny child can have in his or her heart. Unseen, unnoticed by the world, even the weakest, most dying patient in the hospital can possess it. But because faith is attached to the great defier of death, the great dissolver of death, Christ himself, it has this tremendous power. And our text says it so beautifully. It's not that it might bring us with Jesus someday. Paul says God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Because Christ's resurrection has already occurred, yours must follow. And this is why our Christian faith always brings us back to the Christ window every time we worship. Sunday worship was picked instead of Wednesday because it was the Lord's day that he rose again from the dead as a weekly reminder of the power we have over our own future death. Baptism, St. Paul says, we were buried with Christ in baptism into death, and we have now been united with him in his resurrection. The Lord's Supper, when we take it, Jesus said to his disciples that night, eat this, and I won't eat it again with you until I eat it with you in a new way in my Father's kingdom. All promises of the resurrection. As we walk through the cemeteries in our communities, we may wonder, out of which graves will those people rise someday who will go to heaven? Which ones here fell asleep in death with Christ firmly planted in their heart? Make sure tonight that as you go to physical sleep in Christ, that you are in him by faith, so that when the sleep of death finally comes to claim you, you will be sleeping in the one and only one who dissolves that death. Amen.